The Drop with Frank and Brian is officially brought to you by Switch Suspension. Switch Suspension specializes in all vehicle chassis components. Lift kits, lowering kits, air ride suspension, wheels, tires, steering, and brake upgrades. They use all the best products from the best brands. And these guys are truck guys. You roll into their parking lot at the shop, and they all drive custom vehicles. So they use their products that they sell on their own vehicles. So if you guys are looking for anything for your vehicles, whether you're just starting out or you just need some replacement parts or whatever, give them a call or visit their website, switchsuspension.com.
Hope you enjoy this episode of The Drop. If you like these podcasts and all the other content we create, head on over to our websites and purchase merch. Purchasing merch keeps us going and creating more content. Our websites are grinder-tv.com and livelifecustom.com. We really appreciate it. Now on to the episode.
What's up?
How are you?
So first off, you said we're not going to mention it, but we have to mention it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean,
we can't just like ghost it and be like, people will be like, well, what happened?
Well, I understand, but I just thought maybe.
No, you can't. We have to say it. Wait, we're.
Soon as mended.
What's that?
It's an old saying. Least said, soon as mended.
No, not in this situation. When people are waiting for something to be given to them after they've entered the contest.
Fair enough.
We forgot to compile our names.
Uh-huh.
So we're going to do our giveaway next episode.
Next episode. Yeah, tune in. That means you got more time to win fabulous prizes.
Oh, I'm not doing more entries.
Never mind. Forget it. Never mind.
Whatever. Unless we can. It doesn't matter. There are no rules.
There are no rules.
We
make them up as we go.
That's the only rule.
The only rule is that we make it up?
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah, because then.
I'm just turning up my phone.
Because then if we. Yeah. Then it doesn't matter what happens.
Okay. I'm down for it.
All right. One more week.
All right. One more week. We'll see you guys next week when we get our
okay, that's the episode. See you later.
Bye.
Go to the website, buy stuff.
1.5 minutes.
Yeah.
But no, we actually got a lot of stuff to talk about.
We do?
I think so.
I have two things.
I have a few things too, but last week you teased us with some Forbidden Show update stuff. You did your live. I actually, you know what? That's one thing that I meant to do before we started was go back and rewatch your live. Because I was busy at the moment. So how'd the live go? What'd you guys talk about?
We just talked about, cause people are just like, hey, I sent, photos of my vehicle in for grass approval. I didn't get anything, a reply. Hey, I didn't get a reply. And it's just like,
oh,
calm down. And then
like, we'll get there.
I don't think people read there was like, when you buy the registration, it's a note on the top that says to email the picture. And yes. A lot of people didn't, cause I couldn't find a place on that program Eventbrite that we use to like submit a photo with the registration.
Right. I think that would be difficult on their end because then they would like have to host, like, you know, deal with all these photos coming in and stuff. So it's easier just to send it to the email.
Yeah. And I get not seeing the note at the top saying send the picture in. So I just wanted to like make sure everyone knew and remind people and go there. So now I have to, my plan is all this week, today's Monday that this is releasing, is to sit at my computer, watch Barrett Jackson cross the block and edit Dino's Get Down.
Cool.
And do my grass thing.
Approve or not approve?
I haven't decided if I reply not approved or I just don't reply. But I figure if I don't reply, they're just going to keep emailing me.
Yeah, I think you have to reply. Now it just depends on what the reply is going to be. Is it going to be like a thank you for submitting a photo, unfortunately? Or is it going to be like, hey, man. Nope. No. That's all it is. Nope.
I'm just kidding. It'll be the denied stamp. It'll be like a picture of the asphalt.
Here's your location.
Oh, I did that's announce hilarious. Too that we're going to have food out in the parking lot. So we're going
to. Oh, cool.
I got my buddies that were at the Calacas show, the taco guys.
Oh, yeah. They're going to come out.
They're going to come out and cook. So they'll be cooking Friday and Saturday. Because apparently the Mexican spot at the gas station's closed.
Oh, for like permanently?
Yeah, so they're going to be out there. We've got a shaved ice thing, and they're going to be out there. And I think they've got desserts and stuff. So, yeah.
Nice. Heck yeah. How does the hotel, you know, feel about that?
I asked first. I said, hey, I forgot. Because last year I asked, and they said, yeah, go ahead. And I was like, nah, I'm just not going to deal with it. I just let you guys do it. But then this year I'm like, because food there is like, there's a lot of options, But if, like, mm-hmm. you're not prepared to wait for an hour, you're not going to eat. That's true.
Yeah, that's true.
And so if you, so I just asked them, like, hey, do you care about food vendors? And they're like, no, we don't care. So they just have to pay the tribal tax thing, and that's it. So
mm-hmm. right, like, on. Well, that's cool. Yeah, that's exciting.
Yeah.
That's a cool update. One thing I have to clear up is I have really nothing to do with any of this stuff.
Oh, so yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Please don't message me. Because I not message me because, you know, I'm like being mean, and just don't message me because I don't have that much info. Like, I can't really help you.
Yeah.
Like, I get asked these specific questions and I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to have to forward this along to it. It all comes down to the show Instagram.
Yes.
Like, that is the most central spot you could find. Now, of course, there are people, I don't have an Instagram. Well, get one.
Email forbiddenfantasyshow@gmail.com.
That was the other thing I was going to say is the email. Though, between those two things, that's the most central way to get a hold of you to get some information. Yeah.
It's not that I'm gatekeeping things. It's just easier that way mm-hmm. because the information coming from one single source, one single social media platform, one is, you know, like most people in the club can answer most questions. Hey, when's the show? Right. Mm-hmm. All this stuff. But like, it's just easier that way because then information gets confused and all that stuff.
Well, the things I can answer is this good enough for the grass? I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
Not my decision. What about hotel information? Don't know.
Yeah.
Like, you have to go over to these specific things to find out. Yeah. Those are the things I can't answer. But, yeah, like you said, I can answer a few things about it. But it's just – and it takes out, like, just doing it that way and – even like the first thought would be is like maybe try to like not help but like try to like, oh, maybe, you know, but that opens up too many problems because then, oh, Frank said or and Steve that's said
the thing. Yeah, like because Glenn is probably like the, you know, the number one dude that helps out a ton mm-hmm. on the back end. And he's, you know, he's like, he's always asking, what can I do? What can I do? And I'm like, I don't want to be, it's not that I'm saying there's nothing for you to do, mm-hmm. but literally there's just, it's a very simple show, you know, there's not a lot to it. Mm-hmm. And so, there's not really like a lot leading up to it. It's just making decisions to make that day run as smoothly as possible.
Right. Yeah. Because at the end of the day, that's all you want. You just want it to go off. The main two things is just everybody have fun and with no problems.
Yeah.
Like that's the two main deals right there. So I'm still plugging away at my forbidden video from last year. So that's coming along. I've just been super busy, man. I've been printing. I've been a printing machine.
Oh yeah,
yeah. I'm told you, man. I'm gonna be ready.
Are you printing stuff? Your stuff right now?
Yeah, my stuff. Oh, cool. Yeah. I'm really not doing anything else for anybody else. But that's to say that later on I will be. So I'm doing like all this like hard work. Not hard work, but like I'm doing all this extra work now. So later on I can accommodate people and if things people need printed because people usually wait till about, you know, a week or two before LST and be like, hey, can you?
Yeah. You know what we need to do. This is just a little behind the scenes stuff is we need to print new club shirts.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, well the problem has always been is art.
Yeah. That's the thing too. Like where I was working with Chris Rhodes, who's really good and really great. But the problem is he's an illustrator. You know what I mean? Like, and so like me and him can't sit there and go back and forth 100 times cause I don't know what I want. That's not fair to him. Mm-hmm. So it's just like, I just don't know what I want as far as a club t-shirt and our logo's long and it's
skinny
and it's just, so I just don't know. And so I always go back, like, should we print the pinstripe Chris one without the S10 on it? Like take the S10 off and just use the artwork and put the logo on it.
Well, without the S10, isn't it just arrows?
Yeah. But we could put the logo like underneath it.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
Maybe. And yeah. And that's the problem from my end too. Like I'll make you t-shirts right now. Yeah. But we need to figure out what's going to go on them. Mm-hmm. And I can't, I'm the same way. I'm not an artist. I can come up with an idea, but I need someone else to execute it. And that's what I've really learned over this past like year or so is like start relying more on people who can execute those things.
Yeah.
And that's funny because like, I was watching the Smoking Tire with Vin Tra on it earlier this week and he had this, and I was like skimming, see when I couldn't find it, but he had this really good quote about like utilizing other people, like what basically what's your time worth to sit there and figure it out or just have someone do it so you can move on to the next.
That's what I was saying last year about the designs. Mm-hmm. It's just like, And sometimes I can't even come up with a design. I don't even have an idea. So I'm just, I will pay someone to come up with a design.
Right.
You know, cause again, time, that whole thing is just that, what is your time worth? Are you going to sit there for hours upon and hours and hours and hours? And then the other thing too, is like there's, you have other things to do. So you're not really concentrating on that. You're thinking about other things. And yeah, so pay the people to do that and save yourself a bunch of money.
And that's a really good segue. If we're done talking about the show for a minute, we can come back. But that's a good segue into your Tacoma video this week.
Yeah.
Or last week.
Yeah.
I think that was, and that's what kind of got me started on, because I was listening to it and then I heard that quote and I was like, oh, this is exactly what Brian's doing.
Yeah.
Because in the beginning of the video, you said, you know, you could sit there in your garage and you could try to wire it and do all this stuff, but you may be going, either making it harder than it needs to be or doing unnecessary steps.
Yeah.
When a person like Tanner knows exactly what to do and how to do it.
Yeah.
You know, so not only are you like saving your time, you're saving his time.
Yeah.
You're saving everybody's time by making this decision. Yeah. You know,
it's the same reason going to Panda and just letting him do what he needs to do. And if he's like, hey, we could do it this way, but and it'll save X amount of dollars, or we do it this way and it'll cost a little bit more, but it's the correct way to do it. And I just like, just do it the correct way to do it, because I don't want to just cut corners or, you know, again, the time thing. Like the truck sat in my garage for a while. I took the front suspension off and I got it powder coated and I put it back on because I can do that.
Right.
It's already done. It just needs to be taken off and put back on. But when it comes to like drilling holes in the frame, running wires, like I just got a new fuse box, from that, it's the same place I got my dash, the Toyota Auto Mart up in NorCal. Tanner called me right before he left and he goes, hey, your fuse box, because we had extended the fuse box and we took some wires out of lights we didn't need.
Ago.
Yeah, a long time ago. And he goes, it's going to cost you less to buy a new fuse box with a new wiring harness than it is to pay me to unfuck this one.
Right. Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah.
So that's what I did. It was $300 for a wiring harness and there it is. And then it's going to save him time and he just boom, done, you know?
Mm-hmm. So walk me through a little bit of the behind the scenes of this. So the plan was, the simple plan was the truck, all the fabrication's done. It's entering this next phase of like wiring and getting it driving and going, and you have this plan and you already have the next step planned out and you get to Tanner's. And it all goes to just shit.
Yeah. And it's funny because everyone like is messing with me like, man, I'm so sorry. Oh, that sucks. And I'm just like, it's not a big deal.
Yeah.
It really isn't a big deal. Like, so I took it to, he called me and he goes, hey, bring it on over. I only got a couple weeks until I leave. So we can figure it out. And I was like, all right. So I took it over to him and we pushed it on the side of his house and he could just kind of looking at it, whatever. And then when he got it into the garage the next day, like later that night, he sent me a photo of like the thing and he goes, and they just said, there's water. The motor's locked up. It won't move. It's not going to move.
Waterlogged basically.
Yeah. Well, it rusted shut. So the cylinders, everything's rusted. It won't move. But he got it to break free manually. But what happened was, is since it was rusted, one of the valves stuck open. So when the piston came up, it tapped the valve.
Oh, and as he was, I didn't understand that part.
Yeah.
I thought that's why it got full of water was because when the valves was open and it just dumped water into the motor.
It got full of water because it was left out in the rain at some point in time. Mm-hmm. And on those motors, the spark plug tubes goes through the top of the valve cover. So it must have seeped through that.
Oh, I see.
And filled up with water. And I just didn't think that was possible. Like, you drive in the rain.
Right.
Why can't a truck sit out in the rain?
Right.
People camp in the rain. People, you leave your truck in the driveway in the rain. So like, I just didn't think about it.
Right.
And then, I guess it just rains more where the truck was at than it does where I'm at. Cause
well, plus in those other scenarios that you're mentioning, you usually start it and drive off. So
true.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. 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 True. But so regardless of anything, the valve just stuck open. It tapped the valve. He wasn't sure if it bent the valve, but I guess it just barely, if you barely touch a valve, it like will bend the valve. So you saw that part of the video where he was spraying like something in the cylinder head, not the cylinder head, but the head, like that was to see if the valve was seated. So he got the valve to close, and then he was seeing if it would leak out, and it did. So we got a new valve from the dealer. He put it in.
And then just redo the head, basically.
Yeah, and I don't know what I don't know if he didn't, like, rebuild the head, but he put that thing in there and got a head kit and did something. I don't know.
He just did something. Again, right back to what we were talking about.
Well, the thing, too, with some people.
He knows what that means.
He knows what he's doing, hopefully. Right. You know.
Hopefully.
Hopefully.
No, he does. I'm pretty sure.
He knows more than I know. So there you go, right? Mm-hmm. But what? So he works out of his house right now. He's building a shop and all this stuff. So he's kind of in a limbo mode. But I'll leave, and then he'll work on it. And then so I can't sit there and film the whole thing. Plus, I don't want to, like, he's the type of person I'm not going to hang over his head while he's working on stuff.
Uh-huh.
You know, and I understand that, because it's like I've had people like, "Hey, can you should just edit the video here at the shop?" And I'm like, No, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to go home and edit it, because that's where I like. I don't like people hovering over me. So I respect that, and I'm not going to, you know, do that. And so he would just, I don't know what he did, but hopefully he did it correctly.
Right, yeah. No, I'm sure he did. Yeah. So I love the video. The whole thing was good. From a technical standpoint, I guess is what you would say. You did such a good job of moving it along. Like, we didn't meander in one thing. Like, you could have meandered for an entire, like, 30 minutes on just this one thing with the valve going bad.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But you took this whole thing and made it very interesting, very, not fast-paced, but at a pace that you're still engaged.
Yeah.
You know, constantly engaged in something. So I really like that part. And then, I don't know if it's just me, but the hilarity that ensued, I laughed so freaking hard as the water was coming out of the drain plug and just kept coming and kept coming. I was dying laughing. It was so freaking funny.
I wasn't there for that, so they filmed it on their phone. I was like, film anything on your phone that I can use, you know? Because like I said, I leave and come home, and then they work into the night on things, you know, because it's just there at the house. So... yeah, that was definitely a thing of.
So it was kind of okay. So that's kind of an interesting thing too. So you don't know. So they just give you this footage, and now you're just sitting there, and you get an experience of, like, I'm experiencing it.
If you heard on the video, you heard Tanner talking. He's talking to me on the phone.
Oh, you're on the phone.
So Aiden, his nephew that helps him, that lives with him there, is filming, and then Tanner's on Tanner's phone talking to me here at my house.
I see.
And he's just like, it's still coming. It's still, oh, there's something. And so I'm on the phone with him when he's telling me that.
Yeah, that's hilarious. That's so funny.
Yeah.
And then so unexpected things happening. Like, how did it also just snowball into you guys deciding to pull the cab, to do the seam seal, or to do the finish and stuff like that?
It was basically just, he was just like, well, what's your plan on this? And I'm like, well, I don't have a plan, because my plan was to get it running, take it to Alan, and have Alan do whatever was needed. Again, it goes back to that. I could do it myself. I know it needs to be done, but the steps that it, like, you know what I mean? Like, Alan has four guys there. I'm one dude at my house.
Right.
So if four guys need to pop the cab off, if it's just faster, he already has the sealant there at the place. He already has the liner there at his place. It's not, it's like, so that's just my thing. Like, cause I've done things like that in the past, and they go, well, I have a bunch of that here. Why don't you just use this? And I'm like, you know, so it basically was, well, the head's off. He said, let's just pop the cab off real quick. And though, you know, we went and bought the Raptor liner. We went and bought primer. We went and bought the sealant, and, they did, that was one day. So that we took the cab off.
Oh, really?
Yeah. We took the cab off that night. It was seam sealed, primed, and Raptor liner. And then the next day I went over there and we put the cab back on.
Oh, okay. All right.
So all this happened within a matter of 4 days.
I assumed it was over three or 4 days or so. Oh, okay. That's interesting.
And then while the cab was off, he could run line. So he ran brake line, fuel line, and air line all the way down the thing. So now he's out in Florida doing some drag race stuff, helping his buddy's team out. So when he gets back, he has 2 days to do that truck before he can't do anything.
Oh, really?
He's so busy.
I see.
Yeah. I kind of bumped my way in there.
Yeah, because, like, you know, we were just talking about Bear Jackson, and he's involved with Hogan and stuff. Yeah. And so, like, yeah, he must always have something going on.
Hogan, there's a Pickett. It's a Pickett Trucking. They're a big like diesel truck place. He's wiring one of their trucks. Like he just does a bunch of stuff, and he's just got this schedule that's all the way out there. So I appreciate getting in there. And, but yeah, so when he gets, in my truck right now, I have, you know, the bar that goes, in the interior, that's always rusted. So when you take your dash off, there's that metal bar that goes from side to side that everything mounts on. That's in the bed of the Maverick. I got that sandblasted. I've got the valve cover being blasted and coated.
Oh, do you want to reveal the color? Because that was one of the things.
No, I'm going to do it in the video. I'm going to reveal in the video.
Okay, cool. All right, cool.
I got the header being blasted and ceramic coated. I've got all this stuff. So when he gets back,
he'll be... It's all just got to go slam together.
Well, I'm going to get... Aiden is his nephew that lives there, and he can put the bar back. He can do a bunch of stuff. But when Tanner gets back, it's like he's going to wire it and then get it. We're going to get it running.
Cool.
The funniest part about this entire thing is the way that the process of buying parts worked.
Okay.
So I dropped it off. I come home. He's looking over it and he's just sending me Amazon links. So my entire messenger, because I have my messenger on my big computer. So I'm sitting there and it pops up and it's just like, buy this, buy this, buy this, two of these, this. I'm literally making Amazon orders. I would make one with like 10 different things on it. And then he would send me 10 more different things.
So another order.
And it's just shipping to his house, shipping to his house, shipping to his house. And then he was like, he'd send me down to the shop to get a fuel pump. So I had to go buy a fuel pump. Then this other place to buy this and this other place to get this. So it's like, but a majority of everything on that truck came from Amazon.
That's pretty awesome.
Even the exhaust, all the exhaust, the muffler.
Really?
It's all, all the exhaust is going to be done there too.
That's rad.
Yeah.
So like, is that like, these are just like parts companies who sell on Amazon kind of thing?
I see. Like you can get GSI parts on Amazon.
Oh, really?
GSI battery boxes. You could get it. It's insane.
Huh.
I didn't know that. As much as I don't like to support the big Walmarts and Bezos and all that, at the same time, it's just hard to get away from it sometimes. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I totally get it. Well, that's all really cool. I had my opinion for the valve cover.
What is it?
I'm honestly throwing up between, actually, now that I think about it, three different colors. Red, because I like the red because it's sort of like a throwback to the original color of the truck, you know? I like the red, but I also like your idea of the black or maybe even like a gray like the wheels.
Yeah.
Like those three I'm feeling.
Yeah.
The Tuna's blue, like. Okay. Oh, by the way, his truck was quite the what would you call it?
Co-star?
Co-star.
The Mazda. His Mazda.
No, that's not his S10?
No, that's Aiden's S10.
Oh, okay. Then that one too.
That one too, yeah.
Okay. I thought that was.
Yeah.
But that was kind of like an a surprise little like, oh, everybody's like, oh, what's up with that S10?
Yes. Well, there's a few comments about the Mazda too. So
Tuna's Mazda. Those.
If you watch the part where he's on the hoverboard.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, and then the green Mazda.
There was a
that's
green
his.
Mazda. That's his.
Oh, okay, yeah. Cool. Right on.
Yeah, that's
is that, and he's currently building that right now.
No, he's got another vehicle that is when it comes out is insanely detailed.
Oh, nice.
So that'll be a cool one when it comes out. Yeah. But
anyway, I just thought that was funny because a lot of people were like, "Oh, you know."
Yeah.
Anyway,
it's I don't know what. Oh yeah, so the valve cover. The reason Tuna said blue is because the blue logo.
Oh, okay. But you really didn't pick that logo. That was just Eric's.
It was just in it. It was
hand me down. You got a hand me down.
I got a hand me down. And I don't know if that's even going to be what goes on the truck.
Right.
You know, as much as I like full big logos on standard cab trucks, that truck is probably going to end up with a smaller logo.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You think so?
I think so. I think.
I do like the big logo, man. It looks so tough.
It does. But at the same time, when you get it all done and it's all in paint and everything's just. It almost takes away from the truck.
Yeah, I've always thought that.
Yeah.
I always thought that way, way, way back in the day, like when I first started. The one specifically that I remembered was Body Drop's orange Mazda. Like you had this crazy Mazda with the tint that he was like doing at the time and stuff, and the wheels and the paint and everything. And it had this like tiny little Sever Ties logo in it. I always thought that was like super tough.
Yeah.
So I see what you're saying on that.
Yeah. So we'll see. I'm going to, things that can happen later on, but. That's that. And then I should have another video dropping soon too.
Oh, another Toyota Tacoma?
Nope.
New stuff. I'm stoked for that one too.
This whole thing is just starting to like roll.
Really get going.
It's starting to roll, and I have good feelings about it. And I want to thank everyone that bought merch. Pity merch.
Oh, people came through?
Oh, but tons of people came through.
Heck yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
That's awesome.
They were even messaging like, hey, I bought this because I don't even care. I don't even want it. I just bought it to give you money. I'm like,
that is the best thing I've heard, dude.
Yeah.
I got zero orders. Thanks. No,
go out there and do something to your foreigner. It won't start. Right? I need money.
I know, right? That's funny. No, that's great, man. That's really cool. That's really cool to hear.
Yeah. I'm excited because it's going to be cool because I don't want to talk about stuff now, obviously, because I want to keep some element of surprise.
Well, no, I like this. I like how you do it.
Yeah.
Drop a video. We kind of dissect it and discuss it, expand on a couple things.
Yeah, because I also think even not telling you stuff because you get to watch the video. Because if I told you everything that happened, you would watch the video and go, well, I already knew this.
I know, exactly.
There has to be some sort of process.
Right. Yeah, I get it. No, I totally dig it. And the new one that's coming up, super stoked for.
That video's almost done.
The part, I'm not going to say specifically, the parts you just showed are really cool. Those weren't off of another truck, were they?
They were.
Okay, I thought so. I thought so. Yeah.
Yep. So
those are clean though. Those are super clean.
I have never gotten as many messages about wheels as I got about those.
Oh, so you're everybody,
huh?
You. I wasn't gonna say the part, but you said it wheels.
Well,
so they were
said
they,
because Panda posted the wheels,
right?
And then
right.
I shared the post. So I don't know how many. And Trevor is like, he said these are probably my number one favorite wheels. He goes,
they're so sick.
Yeah.
So, and they're billet, Frank and billet. No, those are the type that I like.
Yeah.
They're not trying too hard. They're super clean.
Yeah.
I do get the whole big offset, deep lip, but something about a nice, little offset, because those are they front wheel drive wheels?
No.
No, those are not front wheel drive wheels.
Mm-mm. I mean, they're just they've got a little bit of a lip on them, but they also concave up a little bit. Mm-hmm. So where the lug nuts mount is more closer to the outer rim, because if you look at the way that that the star goes, it kind of comes back up in the center a little bit.
Mm-hmm. And those were off of Eric's old truck, right?
Yep.
Okay. That's what I thought. Yeah. But those are just super clean looking wheels.
They're Boyd Coddington wheels.
Oh, really? They are? Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Oh,
did you see the Boyd Coddington hammers that he just posted?
That Boyd Condon himself posted?
Yeah, so if you go on Hot Rods by Boyd on the Instagram, he's the one that, he'll do old style wheels and make them bigger or whatever, like Carl's,
Yeah.
But he's doing, remember the hammers, the old hammer wheels?
I'm having a hard time thinking of what they look like.
They're not a five spoke, but they're a fat five spoke, but they're anyways, he made an updated version in 18s, and I was just like, man. That looks good.
Now that we're I understand how you feel about 20s. 18s are super underrated, man.
No, it's not about the size of the wheel. It's about the vehicle they're going on. Because you can't just go,
true.
Oh, 18s are underrated. I'm going to put them on my truck with big wheel wells. It's not about anything that. Yeah. It's
Because if you look at a Tacoma.
Yeah, if you look, even minis. Because minis are not, just a mini is a broad term. Mm-hmm. A 1985 Toyota pickup is different than an 89 Toyota pickup is different than a 2004 Tacoma.
True.
The 2004 Tacoma is bigger than
this. Is a physically bigger truck.
Yeah. So it's, you need it. If you can't keep the wheel size and go physically bigger in the truck. Mm-hmm. It's all about the proportions. And and a lot of things too, people will go, oh, that looks cool. But then if you sit there and stare at it, you'll start to see, oh, those wheels are too small on that truck.
Or too big.
Or too big. Exactly.
Right.
But if you look at a Tacoma, specifically an extra cab, and you look at it with 18s on it, and it also depends on the wheel too, right? So a wheel with thinner spokes is going to look bigger, but a wheel that's more full with thicker spokes, you're going to start to look at it and go, oh yeah, if that was in a 20, it would be totally right. But on a 91, the 89 to 95 pickups, 18s are perfectly fine. Mm-hmm.
That's interesting you bring that up, because on my truck it changes even on my truck because I have 18s on my truck. If you look at the front half, it looks super nice, but then the back is so big and bulbous that the back ones tend to get shrunken down.
Exactly. We were actually talking about that your 4Runner, me and Trevor were talking about it, and he goes, there's something weird when you look at the side profile of those 4Runners.
Yeah.
He goes, because they start skinny and then they get super fat, like real tall. And it kind of, yeah. So it's almost like a staggered set of wheels on that would look
great. I've thought about that too, because like, you know, my love of Banks and everything like that, you know, I have a set of 20s, and, but like 20s wouldn't look good on that. But
well, Banks wouldn't look good on that. Banks wouldn't look good on that truck either.
No, I don't think
because
so.
Because it goes right back to the fatness of the back.
Right.
You got the fatness of the back and you alleviate the fatness with a thinner spoke. If you put a fat wheel on it, now it's like fat, 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 fat.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like, it's,
that makes sense.
It's really weird because I love, there's certain wheels that I love, but I wouldn't put them on a truck that I love because they just don't mesh together.
Yeah. But no, that's a great point.
So, but yeah, really, cause I like Banks too, but it's like on that truck, it just might bloat it up or so. I don't even
know. I think those wheels are the, if I was to like, I would go with another, like, yeah, exactly what you said. I would go with another skinny five spoke wheel, you know, like those ones that you showed, or like something similar to that. But I think the wheels on that truck are the ones for that truck.
Yeah.
Pretty much. Yeah. Like, I think those are pretty set. I would like to be like Ben and just like swap wheels and try.
Well, that's the thing is like, you just have to, if you find good deals on marketplace on wheels, you're like, oh, I think these are cool. You could get them for fairly cheap. You know what I mean? Finding good deals, just throw a set of, you know, tires for 18 inch wheels are $300.
Yeah. They're not very expensive.
Throw them in there. And then you had your truck for so long, you could just take those wheels off. Don't need to sell them, and then throw a different set of wheels on for a year.
That's true.
It would change up the whole look of the truck. Doesn't matter what it is. And that's what I want to do to the Tacoma. I want to, like, if I find some stuff on marketplace, I'll be like, let's see what this looks like. Mm-hmm. Throw them on there, rock them for a couple of shows.
Yeah. Yeah. I like it. I freaking like it. That's awesome, man. Yeah. That's all exciting. Lots of exciting stuff going on, moving parts. But yeah. What else?
I have this in my notes. Frank's chair. Mm-hmm. How is your new chair?
I mean, it's okay. I told you that, like, I told you about this is a whole deep thing, but whatever. So I got two of these things, right? And the idea was to have one for, you know, right, for this side of the office, for, because it's basically two desks and stuff, and then I have another one at my desk. I don't like it because they don't recline at all. Like,
oh, zero. That doesn't, like, recline
is,
at all?
This is, look, I'm, like, this is me reclining in it.
Oh, really? No.
Yeah, it's terrible. No,
you can't do that.
Yeah, it's freaking terrible. So I'm going to put myself on blast a little bit. I fell out of another chair.
Were you trying to lean back in it?
I was trying to lean
back. And did it, like, pop back?
It, like, you know me. I'm a goofy guy. So, like, I'm sitting at my desk over here, and I'm, like, kind of getting frustrated with it because I like to kick my feet up. Yeah. I, like, sometimes take some time, kick my feet up, hang out. Well, I freaking was like, and I went a little too far, and it just went, boom, and it flipped out from under. I hit the ground. Chaos ensues. And I just go like, and then my kid bursts through the door. Are you okay? I'm fine.
It's so, yeah. You know, I never did that. Lean back and put my feet up on my desk until I saw you do it.
Oh,
that's all I do now.
Oh yeah. I know. It's great.
That's it. I have this monitor. I grab it. I slide it closer to the side of the desk right here.
Yeah.
And that monitor stays there with YouTube. And then that monitor there, that's what I work on. And I have this little thing, this, like a pot holder.
Oh, okay.
My grandma made this years ago.
Okay.
And it just sits in here, and I put it right here where my feet go. So my feet have a little resting pad.
Nice. Nice. So I fall out of this damn chair. The kids run in. Chaos ensues. Needless to say, I just rolled that one out and got my, because I had taken, like, both my old chairs and threw them out. Like, they were.
Oh, so you got two new of these gaming chairs.
That's what I'm saying. I had two. I had one for, like, a podcast desk, and then another one for my normal desk.
Yeah.
But so I ended up going back outside, grabbing my old chair, bringing it back in here. So, but no one sees it. So, like, the whole point was, like, you know, my chair was all kind of janky and stuff, and people would.
Well, it's also good for comfort. You know what I mean? Like,
well, and plus, like, I don't lean in the podcast.
Yeah.
I sit pretty straight up. Yeah. So, you know. Yeah.
Well, I mean, like, I was saying, a good chair is good for your back, too. Because, that chair right there just ruins my back. And this chair, this is from Costco, though. It's like a Lazy Boy branded chair, but
see, that's what I need.
Yes.
Angie All's jokes that I need a Lazy Boy office chair.
Yeah, they're 130 bucks or something at Costco.
Oh, this one was 120 bucks. So yeah, it's the same thing.
So like, and I like this one, except my one I had before this was another Lazy Boy one, and I like that one better because it had a taller headrest.
Oh, okay.
So I could put my head like this.
Yeah.
This one doesn't. So my head's kind of just like
just floating around.
Yeah.
Well, so yeah, so that's the chair update from over this side. But yeah, in my notes today, I got a couple other things going on.
Okay.
Number one is Erica and Jose, Riding Low Magazine, have put out their show list for the year. We went over shows a couple of episodes ago, did our best to kind of like, you know, compile a good list, but nothing beats Erica's work that she puts into her list. And I mean, it's so big it is almost not. She actually needs to make two or three.
Me and her talked about this the other night.
They're so tiny, like it's hard to read.
I said this is going to need 2 pages, and she goes, yeah,
or three.
I said, you're dealing with guys that all need reading glasses now.
That's true.
Yeah, you know, so like you can't see anything. And so she said, yeah. She said it's definitely going to have to be 2 pages.
Yeah, so that's out now. So everybody who asks, what's going on? Where's the shows? We did our best, but that's where to find it.
Yeah.
Specifically, like, and what's interesting, it's not just like, I don't want to say, well, however you want to take it. Like, it's not just the shows that, you know, we talk about that we're going to go to. I mean, it is like random shows.
Yeah.
Like in, I don't know, Kansas or something.
You
know, there's a show going on. She puts a lot of work into that thing. So that's out now. Go check that out. And then I got a really interesting message from, and I didn't, unfortunately, like I didn't know his name, but let's see if this name for you rings a bell. A Mr. Alan Castile.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I don't know him personally, so I didn't know exactly who he was. But anyway, so he messaged us, and because we were talking about Daddy's Customs, and we were talking about like the Toyota that he built that was all, you know, could jump off the ground and stuff like that. So he actually sent me this pretty long message, or us to the drop, this pretty long message that kind of gives a little backstory and detail to all that. And it's a really good story. I asked if we could share it. He didn't respond, so I'm just going to go ahead and share it anyway. But, you know, bear with me. I'm going to read straight off my phone. I know some people don't like that, but it's a good story. So Alan, he says, hey guys, just finishing listening to your Christmas episode, and here are you talking about my old shop, Daddy's Customs. I started with Jason, known as Chico, and in my dad's garage. Way before we started Daddy's Customs, Chico and I started a club called Under Pressure. I'm pretty sure you remember it. We were kind of a laughing stock of the mini truck scene. After about a year in the club and building in my dad's garage, we overgrew and had to open a shop, and that's when Daddy's Customs was started. Once the Pro Hopper was built and established, the shop's name... I'm sorry. You have to bear with me, too, because I'm kind of an idiot. he says, once the Pro Hopper was built and established, the shop's name, I think... Okay, I'm sorry, just the way he wrote it. Once the Pro Hopper was built and established, the shop's name, I think the money got to me and Chico because we started butting heads and he went one way and I went the other way. And that's when, it's also how it's written. And that's when I met the owner of Best Customs and started working for him. And he taught me the right way to do air ride and hydraulics on one of the rides. I got to help do the air ride right, which was on Flakenstein. Oh, that S10. Yeah, that's cool. And then he says, when the owner decided to go back to his main job and close Best Customs, I went back to Finn and Flames to work for my uncle at his body shop till Tony and I opened up All Out Fabrications and Audio in Glendora. He was my business partner with Tony until my grandmother got sick, and then I had to move to Vegas to help my dad take care of her. Maybe we don't need to go into that. Just been out here tinkering and on rides ever since. Just wanted to give you a little history of my time at Daddy's Customs, the four shops that we used to compete against: LA Customs, Kids Customs, and Fat Fabs, and then towards the end, MIC. Can't forget about the 7 great years I had in Local Finesse. So he was also in Local Finesse.
So there was someone sent me a message and told me, I forgot what the shop name that it was, Daddy's Customs, and the other, the shop that
Best Customs.
No, it wasn't Best. It was none of those. It was,
oh, okay. I see.
It was the guys that bought MIC.
Oh, I see. Yeah. That's what it. Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They're the ones that always used to compete together.
Mm-hmm.
And then they ended up buying Master Image Customs.
Yeah. It was really interesting. He also sent some photos that, you know, unfortunately on Instagram, like if you don't do a specific setting, they disappear.
Yeah.
But I was able to check him out, and he sent me these really cool photos of like some of the earlier, when he was like drilling out the bags to dual port them before like dual port bags were a thing. Like he was making his own. And then he was like sending me pictures. He's building a new truck now, so he's got some projects going on there. But it was really interesting. It was just kind of cool to hear kind of like from the source on how all that went down.
Yeah.
You know, that real prevalent time back then of this like cool air hopping, you know, craziness that was going on.
Yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm. I thought that was interesting.
Yeah. I want to shout out a YouTube channel real quick.
Let's do it.
It's called Inspired Existence, and it's in Australia. And he's been at it for a long time, and he just released a video of four guys sitting down talking about stuff. So go and check it out. It's really cool. I actually need to finish the video. I started it and I was like, okay, I need to finish this. And I got distracted doing something else. This week has been really busy with Barrett Jackson coming in.
Mm-hmm.
People are like, can you make, like I did three videos for Hogan, and then I did two videos for someone else. And I was doing photo shoots of trucks. Like it's I always forget about this time, and I need to adjust that for next year. But
right. Oh, so yeah. Okay. I didn't think of that too, but yeah, that makes total sense that
yeah.
All this stuff is going down. Are you going down to Barrett itself, or are you just doing a lot of stuff like outside kind of stuff?
Just outside kind of stuff. Just a lot of people are starting to put TVs in front of their vehicles that are on display. Cause these vehicles at Barrett, once the vehicle goes to Barrett, it's no longer the owner's vehicle. So you can't move it. I don't know who's going to buy it, so I can't shoot the vehicle afterwards if they want. Oh. Like if a magazine wants to shoot it or the shop that built it wants to shoot it, it's gone.
Hmm.
And so it's like, and then they finish them right up to the end of it, you know, right before it. And so now they're just like, can we get this shot? But a lot of people are putting TV screens in front of their vehicles to show it driving, to show underneath, to show the interior, to show it operating and stuff. Like, so it's pretty cool.
That's awesome. Is that like kind of like a newer thing or has that been going on for a while?
I don't know. I've been doing his videos on his stuff, I think for 3 years now. And he said that it's becoming more of a thing. Like in the screen, like I scroll up like credits, like what's done to the vehicle and stuff. So if you're a potential buyer, you're standing there in front, the potential buyers go there. They walk the lot, they walk around the vehicles, they look. But if the owner of the vehicle or the builder is not there and they have questions, TV screen and they go, oh, it has this. Oh, it has this. This is the rear end that's in it. This is the whatever. So
that's really cool. That's an awesome idea. I wonder if that kind of sparked. Do you remember? I mean, obviously remember, but when you made the video of the truck with the diesel in it,
mm-hmm.
Wasn't that like a similar situation?
No, he just wanted that to show. He just wanted a video to show off that truck.
Oh, okay.
But it was going to Barrett a couple of weeks after we did that video, so we had to film it at that time too.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's awesome. That's really cool.
Yeah.
Now, and you get to see some pretty amazing vehicles.
Yeah.
While you're doing it.
Yeah.
That's always the most exciting part.
Yeah.
Is seeing all these incredible trucks or all sorts of vehicles being built. Oh, and you also sent me that picture of that 55 Chevy that fell off a four-post lift.
Yeah.
That's wild.
So, four-post lifts, you don't have to bolt them to the ground. They just they balance themselves. But you know, like the ones that Fat Fab brings out to LST and they put the truck on it and stuff? Like, it always just makes me...
It does make you a little uncomfortable.
It does, because you can push those.
They get a little wobbly.
And they'll get a little wobbly, especially the really cheap ones. Like, my buddy has one in his shop that they just bought to store a car on, and he goes, watch this. And he touched it, and it just went boom, 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 boom.
With this $300,000 vehicle sitting
on his, but on that one, yeah, whatever that 55 Chevy is worth. But if you look at the pictures of that, look how high the platform was when it fell. It was all the way to the top.
Oh, I see. So it just had a super high center of gravity.
Yeah. So
do you know the details on what tipped it over?
Nope,
or you
I don't know anything. Someone, Jason from High Test sent me that picture.
Jeez. you put all your investment into this one vehicle. I mean, I guess that's what insurance is for, but.
Well, I don't, I think that that, so Barrett Jackson is like SEMA now. So you, they have vendors and they have manufacturers and like Chevy's there and all these companies are there. That I think was a, this would be really bad if it was, I don't know the details. Imagine if that was the Lyft company.
Promoting. Oh man.
Cause you see that at Dino's, there's a, an LST. There's, a, I think there's a company that actually promotes their Lyfts and they,
right.
Display,
I thought that was the whole point. Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought, like, especially the ones at LST. I thought that was the point.
No, the one, well, the, like the Fat Fabs one at LST is Fat Fabs to show underneath the truck.
Oh. Oh.
But they have a vent, they had, they do have vendors at these shows that bring Lyfts out, put vehicles on them and display them. So they have a fancy vehicle. So imagine if that was a Lyft company that this, it could, but it could have been
just,
anything.
You just,
been,
you just wrap it up at that point. You're yeah. Like, we're done.
Yeah. I'm going to start a new company now.
Yeah, I know.
We're going to leave.
We're not a Lyft company anymore. Yeah.
But was it you that said if some, what if someone was underneath it?
I didn't say that, but that is a very good point.
Someone replied to that and they were just like, yeah, what if, like, because what would tip that over? It's indoors. I bet you something hit it like a forklift because it was setup day.
I swear, and I can go back and look at the picture. I swear there was a forklift next to it that looked like knocked it over.
It could have been a forklift moving stuff after the fact.
Right. Yeah.
But
also another thing to think about since we're, I guess we're being up on the Fat Fabs guys a little bit, but like, I didn't know they brought those lifts in. So wait, they disassemble the lifts. They bring them in. They assemble the lifts, put the truck on it, disassemble it. And I'm pretty sure they use it a couple, not one time.
I don't know if they disassemble it or they just take a forklift, lift it up, put the lift on the trailer.
Oh,
and then they can
just
actually
fully intact.
Just fully intact. And then, cause you can just, at that point in time, you could just drive a car onto the trailer with the lift on the trailer and strap it all down. And then,
that's a good point.
You just need a forklift. But to be fair, when they display those, all four of the legs, the platform is low. So right. The center of gravity isn't like, so if you jack that lift all the way up and now these legs, you know, are like,
yeah,
they're just like this.
Oh yeah. That's really sketchy. So,
I don't know why that lift was that high. Maybe they were, it was just a temporary thing and they were moving stuff around because it was so, mm-hmm. It was so high, getting stuff into the booth under the thing. Mm-hmm. But that was pretty wild.
Yeah, that is. When does Bear Jackson officially start?
Monday.
Oh, Monday. Okay, yeah. Cool. Yeah. I never really tuned in myself. I don't really watch, but it's always fascinating. We had a discussion. I don't know if it was like last year, the year before, but we had a really good discussion about Bear Jackson and vehicles and cost of vehicles. And
I have a whole list of lots that vehicles I've photographed, vehicles I've filmed, vehicles my buddies have built. I just shot a four-wheel drive K5 or not K, whatever the four-wheel drive Blazer, not Blazer, C10
the red and orange or red orangish one.
No, it's a black one. Yeah, I found do I have a picture of it? I can show you real quick. There's a bridge that I found in Mesa and there's nothing, it's just a bridge over the freeway, but that's it right there. See it?
Oh, That's awesome, man.
Yeah.
That's super nice. That's cool. That's really exciting.
Yeah. So, but it's funny because I like Saturday's the big day, right? For all the things. And I freaking, next Saturday.
Next Saturday
is like the big day for all the, like that Brian Val's dually's going Saturday. All the Hogan.
Oh,
you're
selling that, huh?
They're selling the dually and that blue Suburban, that matte blue Suburban, his wife's.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting. I thought there was, I know the dually was like its own build, but I thought the Suburban had like a lot of sentimental value.
No, there was another Suburban that Trey 5 did that had more sentimental value.
Oh, okay.
That one didn't. So it's,
we're
so
talking about the same matte blue one with the full rag top in it and stuff.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. That was no sentimental value there, but it's so funny because everyone has their wagers of what's going to go.
Yeah.
So like this, the dually, like, there's Jeremy has like, it's like 100 or 200 to 250,000. And then someone else has 50 to whatever. So they all have this betting pool. So there's these now side bets being made on what's going to get what.
That's freaking cool.
Yeah.
People making money everywhere on trucks, off of trucks. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Do you, let's kind of talk about that a little bit. Because like the last time we had this conversation, the reason we were getting into it was because Frank was selling his gold C10 back then.
Yeah.
And it was, we had this interesting conversation about, like, you know, values of trucks and what you do to them. The dually is pretty, I think the dually is pretty, like, straightforward.
Hits all the boxes.
Right. That's the point. Yeah, yep. That's exactly what I'm saying. Yep. Like, it's pretty straightforward. Like, cool truck, cool paint, cool
the wheels. Suburban does not.
That's exactly what I was going to say. It's a very unique vehicle.
It's got, the interior is cool. So the thing with the Suburban is the unique parts about it, that if you're ever going to build something and you're going to sell it at Barrett Jackson or Mecum, you have to, like, take a little bit of your emotions out of it.
Which I would imagine is super hard.
Yes.
Because you have a lot of money and a lot of spirit, whatever you want to say. Yeah, I get it.
So that truck, being matte blue, is one. It's different. Lime green. It's got lime green accents in the interior, lime green accents around the pinstriping on the outside. And it's a manual.
Oh, it is a manual truck?
Yeah.
Underway.
So
interesting. Yeah. Well, and my thing was, like, also the full sliding rag. Like,
yep.
Not a lot of people are super down for that.
Yeah. But I mean, if that truck was red, or if that truck was black, or if that truck was white, or even if it was just matte blue without the lime graphics and stuff. And I'm not.
Oh, I do remember now. Yes. Yeah. Uh-huh.
And then, and the manual transmission.
That's an interesting choice.
Yeah. Yeah. It's Mickey's truck, Brian's wife's truck. She wanted the manual, you know, but some of the times it's those things you go, nah, this is going to be cool. And then later on you go,
Yeah.
But the dually is blue and white. It looks traditional. Mm-hmm. They didn't modify too much stuff on it. It's got a Cummins diesel in it.
The diesel, that's a big selling point, I think, for that one.
It's got nice, super nice, like, brown interior. So, like, it checks all the boxes.
Right.
Like, if you would do that and paint it, like, bright green, then you're losing.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? So, there's been C10s that have gone through and only got, like, 100, 125 grand. The one, there was one from Severed that went through 2 years ago, I think. Right-hand drive.
I remember that one.
All this stuff. And everyone's like, oh, you got robbed. You got robbed. But taking something like that through Barrett is a gamble. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? If you're going to take something, that's scary. Because your audience is super limited.
Well, and that's what I was going to say. Because, like, we kind of, like, came to the conclusion that a lot of these trucks, or a lot of these vehicles that go through Barrett, are almost like money placements.
Yes.
You know, people parking their money in different investments and vehicles and stuff. And yeah, you want to park it in. It's like investing in like the stock market, I suppose. Mm-hmm. Like, you can invest in, like, this new company that's kind of crazy, that makes a crazy product. Like, imagine Facebook back in the day. Like, no one knows what Facebook is, but it was crazy, but people took a chance on it and did it. Or you take the safe investments, which are, like, you know,
yeah.
I kind of think of Pony and his trucks, like, black red. Like, super, I don't want to say safe, but they're
safe. That's exactly what it is. And there's different. So, like, Monday through Thursday, basically Barrett is just a regular auction. There's regular things going through. There's just normal old cars, new cars, whatever it is. But then there's, like, it became this thing where people were building specifically to sell at Barrett. Like, the vehicles Hogan, those, the ones that he's taking, he built those with the intention of selling them at Barrett. Mm-hmm. But Mickey did not build her Suburban with the intention of selling it at Barrett. She bought that with the intention of her enjoyment.
Right.
So she made those decisions. Mm-hmm. So you have to, like, so selling it at Barrett's a big gamble, you know? So anyone that's thinking about selling something at Barrett, like, you might get surprised that it does, that something with, that's got a lot of modifications and is cool to you might not get a lot of money, because you have to, you have to battle, the bidders have to be battling. If there's only one person that wants that truck, no one's going to bid that truck up. Mm-hmm. It's just going to be that one person. That's just be like, I know a guy had a really highly modified Chevy truck. It was built a long time ago. And when you go to Barrett, you sign over the pink slip to Barrett, and it's no reserve. So if you put a reserve of $200,000 and it doesn't hit the reserve at, like, Mecum or these other auctions, you just take the truck home. But once you pull it into Barrett, you sign off your pink slip and it is Barrett Jackson's truck.
Wild.
So whatever it goes with. So, and then there's a fee, right? So if you're the buyer, you pay a fee. If you're the seller, you also pay a fee. Well, this guy bought his truck back.
He bought his own truck back?
Yeah. So
wow.
There was no one bidding. It only bid up to a certain amount. And he goes, nope. He touched his friend and he told his friend bid like $100,000. And he did. So really? He paid the seller and the buyer's fee to buy his truck back to hopefully sell it later on for a higher price.
Okay. Okay. All right. So he, let me see if I can dissect this real quick.
Yeah.
He didn't fork out $100,000 because he would be essentially be paying himself.
No, he did.
I don't understand. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Well, no, he didn't. Right. But he still had to pay. Yeah. He still had to pay the fees.
That's basically what. So basically what he was out was the fees. He wasn't out like $100,000 buying his own truck back because he was still the owner. That's really interesting.
It is. And it happens more than people know.
Interesting.
And then there's also games people play too. Like where they'll be like, hey, if someone's bidding on a truck, you have someone bid too. So then you try to get the next person to bid up.
Wouldn't that be almost like against the rules? Like, are there rules against that?
I don't think there's rules. The only rule is if you bid and that person does not bid on top of you, then you buy it.
Interesting. Yeah. Wow. 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 That's crazy. I think I'll over this next week, I'm going to pay a really close attention and we'll talk about this next week too.
If you go on the Barrett Jackson website, you can go on the docket mm-hmm. and the automobile docket and you just type in Chevy and you can skim through like, or you type in Cadillac and you can skim through and then you write the lot number down and then the live feed, you just look at the live feed and it plays in the background of mm-hmm. when I'm doing stuff. It just sits there and just goes and goes and goes. And it's just super interesting to watch what certain things go for.
And that's why the exciting stuff is happening down. Is that what they call Super Saturday or something?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. And I freaking, me and Milan are going to see Adam Ray on Saturday. And I didn't realize that. I was like, damn it, I'm going to miss it. A lot of it.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So, but yeah, cause that's like my favorite thing is everyone's like, you going down there? I was like, no, I like to watch it.
Cause it's also turned it into obviously it's an event, obviously, but it's turning into like a thing, right?
It's insane. They have an opening night gala with a full on rock concert.
Oh, wow.
It's like all this stuff. And then, imagine SEMA with an auction going on. And then there's like VIP areas in the auction spot. So you go up, you get drinks and all that stuff. And you can get drinks down on the floor too, but it's like these super VIP areas.
Right.
Yeah. It's.
Meanwhile, millions of dollars is being thrown around on vehicles.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And then these guys are just drinking and they're just like, let's see who's got the bigger wallet. And they're just that's like, insane, nah. Yeah, it's wild. That's why I would love to build a couple of vehicles. You know, I got that Toyota. I got the OBS. Those are going to get built, sold. I would call it a Tuesday afternoon Barrett build.
Mm-hmm.
Take a C10, take a something and just, cause you could literally go buy something and just sell it there. As long as it's paid off and you have the title, right. It doesn't matter what it is.
It doesn't have to be a $300,000 C10.
No, it could be whatever it wants. So I'd love to just do like, I call it a Tuesday afternoon build.
Yeah. That'd
get
be cool.
Something clean, lower it, put some wheels on it, but you know what I mean? Clean it up, spray 20, paint.
$30,000, something like that.
Dude, there's so many out there. They're just spray painting the frame black. And it's like, yeah,
it's that's wild. Awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah.
You know, there's a couple other things going on too. Like if you think, so, you know, we talk a lot about it, like, oh, guys buying or not guys, people buying these vehicles and like investments, parking money and stuff. Also, if you have a business that makes tens of million dollars a year and you need to get rid of some income, let's buy a couple C10s over here.
Yeah. Or I want to display them at my business.
Or even more nefarious, I would say, like, I don't know how I got all this cash. It came out of nowhere. I need to clean it up a bit.
Yeah. it's essentially the same as the big, like the real estate market, right?
Right. Yeah.
And that's what these guys do with these supercars. Like the same cars are sold at Barrett every year.
Yeah. Or I would imagine.
Or they'll wait a couple of years and then they buy them. They sit in their garage.
And well, that's just what I'm saying. Imagine if you needed to justify having a couple, you know, few hundred thousand dollars on your person.
Yeah.
You buy a truck, whatever. You park it for a couple of years. You sell it, resell it for the same, maybe more, maybe less. And now you have this nice money that came from a reliable source.
Yeah. The other wild thing is if you have good credit, you walk up to Barrett and you sign up to be a buyer, and they go, you're approved up to $200,000.
Whoa.
And then you go, and then you get a badge and you walk in and you bid. And if you win and you pay $100,000, you have a loan now on that, this car, and you just pay the loan back.
And Barrett, well, I mean, I'm sure there's a whole bunch of host of things like what kind of interest rates.
Actually, I don't know if that's true or not.
That'd be amazing.
I think it's true, but I think it could just be they run your credit and make sure that you're worth so much. I don't know. I could be speaking out of line.
That's another world, man.
It is another world.
It's another. And that's why it's another world. It's another universe.
And that's why I don't enjoy going. Mm. It's just, I know a lot of the people down there. They're really good people, but they have become this thing, or they turn into a thing when they're there. And when a bunch of guys with a lot of money get together, it's just like.
Oh. I'd like to experience that just at least once.
Let's go. Just come out next year and we'll go.
Yeah, I think that'd be cool.
Yeah, it's amazing to walk around and see everything. There's, they have planes, jets, helicopters on display. They're running around. You could ride, do car rides like in new vets or new cars or whatever.
Like, right on. Yeah, just like you said, like a SEMA but with an auction.
It is quite. And then the stuff, the memorabilia that they have inside for sale and all that stuff is really cool too.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That's cool.
So you should come out next year.
Yeah, definitely maybe next year, but definitely over this next week, I'm going to kind of pay a little more attention because, like, I'm always curious to see.
I would send you links like, dude, look at this truck. Look how much it went for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Keep doing that because I'm going to pay a little more attention this time.
Yeah, I will. Yeah. There was a C10 last year that was, I want to say it was just bagged or just lowered or whatever, and it went for like $300,000+.
Wow.
And it should not have gone for that much money. And then there's always the arguments of couldn't build it for that much, couldn't do it. There's always the arguments of this, that, you know, everyone's got, that's not worth it. That's worth it. You don't know. You don't build these. You're not a painter. You're not a builder. You're not this. You're not that. So it's almost fun to watch those guys, all the guys argue in the comments too.
Yeah, about definitely.
Things that, like, I don't know. They don't know. Mm-hmm. But it's pretty good.
What I'm kind of curious, because I actually had this in my notes for at some point to talk about, but saw Carlos posted up something about Mecham? Is that
Mecham?
How you pronounce it?
Mecham.
About some like JDM cars that have sold.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, we talk about like kind of like this transition between like the new generation of car guys and the old generation of car guys.
Yeah.
Well, our generation of car guys who grew up with Type R Civics now have a lot of money
and are spending $70,000 on a CRX,
and they don't want a freaking 69 Camaro. That thing's lame. They want a dope ass CRX hooked up.
That's why you're seeing the C10s become popular, because that's what they grew up driving around was trucks.
Yeah.
Or their parents grew up driving around in trucks. And then in the 70s is when the Japanese stuff started coming in with the Datsun trucks and the that stuff. And in the 80s, it really grew. Mm-hmm. So if you were born in the late 70s, like me, and the early 80s, mid 80s, now you're going to start to see this nostalgia.
Right.
And then the rarity of those cars, because those cars were more thrown away than the Camaros were. Mm-hmm. And they didn't make as many of some cars as they did C10. So the rarity of like what's the chances of a pristine CRX being around right now?
Oh, no. Yeah, I know.
Right.
And now, if there is, they're worth a lot of money.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's wild. There's one other thing I was going to say about that. Dang it. It was a good thought. And now it just ran out my brain. Dang it. Oh, that was, I'm sorry. that was very loud. The meme where it's from Fast and the Furious, where, the two guys are in the Supra, and then the Lamborghini pulls up and like, oh, how much is that thing? More than you can afford, pal. It's the other way around.
Yeah. It's
not that Supra is worth much money.
Well, it has equaled out. Basically.
Well, yeah, but you know what I mean? Before in that time, it was like, oh yeah, it's a cool JDM, you know, cool car, but it's not worth what we perceived as a Lamborghini. It's like a very expensive car.
It was a Ferrari, by the way.
Whatever.
Same thing. just to clarify before the commenters started to come in.
Sorry.
And say, yeah.
Yeah, but no. Yeah, but yeah, definitely I want to pay a little more attention, and we could discuss that.
It's just a fun thing to watch.
Yeah, definitely. As car guys, as car people.
As car people and as like people that are into mini trucks, they can see like, oh, maybe, especially the four-wheel drive stuff. Like if you have four-wheel drive Toyotas and stuff, they're worth so much money. And there was a super clean Mazda that went a couple years ago for like 20 grand. This was like 5 years ago.
Like a B series?
Yeah. It was a low mileage B series Mazda. It's completely stock. So like, as mini truckers, as people that like to buy and seek out mini trucks, when you see one that's completely stock, you almost go, should I cut this one up or should I not cut this one up?
And you've said that before. You've said that before. We're getting to a point now where you can have a super clean 86 extra cab towed, and if it still has that flannel-like interior in perfect condition,
yeah,
lowered a little bit, maybe so set of wheels or whatever, take it to a show, and people are like,
what? That's going to get that. It'll start to, those will start to get more attention, or just as much attention, if not more, than the body drop truck next to it.
Yeah.
Because if I walked up and I saw a pristine 80/40/88, especially a trim with like power windows and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And all that, I would be more blown away by that and sitting there staring at that than the body dropped Toyota next to it. Because mm-hmm. we've seen all the body drop trucks. We've seen all this stuff. Yeah. So,
yeah. And also, more mildly, I don't know if you saw my post this morning, but about that Tacoma I saw. This morning, I don't know if you saw. Thing was like super clean. Like it looked like a brand new truck. Yeah. And then what was even funnier is, I don't know if you noticed, but it looks like he bought off a lot and it had a temporary tag on it, like a dealer temporary tag. It almost looked like a brand new, you know, Tacoma. And what's funny is, and I don't know if anybody got the joke, but like I said, yeah, it's a brand new 2003 Toyota Tacoma. So like, I don't know if have you ever heard of a guy named Joe Coy?
Yeah.
He's a comedian. Okay. Yeah. So he has a whole bit about when he goes to Hawaii and these guys talk about their brand new truck and it's an 03 Toyota Tacoma. So thought that was funny. Anyway, to explain that joke. But anyway, yeah. Next week we'll talk about, we'll get more into some Barrett stuff. I think that'd be cool.
We should. Yeah. What we'll do is, because when we record next week, it will have gone for four days already. Mm-hmm. And while it's going by, I'll just highlight some things. If I see any mini truck things, or if anyone catches anything from Barrett that they see that's interesting.
Yeah, let us know. Let us know what you guys are finding interesting. Yeah,
because you can, they live update it. So when the truck goes across the block, you can go back to the docket on the website and it'll update what it sold for really fast.
Oh, cool. So, and does it have like video usually that goes with it, or is it just like a text
thing? No, so the website just has pictures that you submit, or you can actually take your truck down to Barrett. They have a full studio there and they do a video shoot and a photo shoot. So they'll just, right now, you can go see what's going to happen. What all the cars are already submitted. So they have the docket from 1 to however 1,300 cars that they auction off. And you can see all the photos and everything. But then there's the price on the bottom's blank. And then
until it sells.
They populate that once it sells. Oh, cool. So awesome. It's really interesting.
Yeah, sounds fun.
And it's never like fair, maybe. It's never consistent because one that should have gotten a lot more money doesn't, because the people that bid on it, that's why it's like when you sell something there, it's, you have to do your due diligence to promote it.
Oh, I see.
Because if you don't and you just go, oh yeah, this thing should be sell for this much, and you don't do any promoting at all, people look on that docket, they look on the internet, they look on all this stuff to get information on these things that are for sale. So if it goes across a block and you don't get anything, it's because maybe the person buying the next one wasn't there or whatever, like to bid on it.
Or like you said, doing your due diligence to promote. It's a product. You got to promote your product.
Yeah.
I remember an interesting conversation with Doug DeMero, you know, because he runs Cars and Bids.
Yeah.
And so he was, I don't know if it was on one of his videos or some podcast. I don't know. You know, we listen to everything, right? But he was, you know, going into detail about like people submitting their cars. Like, just because it's a cool car doesn't mean that you should not take the time to promote it, and people would upload crappy pictures, you know.
Oh, that's a big thing.
Like dirty cars, like
there was
all that's on you.
Yeah. There was a Blazer that went through, that was built and went through last year, and it did not get as much as it should have, probably. The photos were garbage. Mm-hmm. The person did not hire a photographer and he did not take the time. He just pulled out in the driveway and took a bunch of photos.
Yeah, with his phone or something.
You can't do that. You can take pictures with your phone.
Well, with your phone.
Take it up the street. And so there's no distractions around, like cars in the background. Like if you have a white Blazer and you take a picture of it and there's a green and red car in the background, even if it's out of focus, it's distracting. You're not, you know, so you have to do that. And yeah, that's what Doug was talking about. I remember when he was talking about that, he's just like, dude, when you send photos in, like that's what you're selling.
And part of that conversation was, 'cause he does the same thing that they do. He offers a service. Well, he'll take pictures of your vehicle and stuff. Yeah. And some guys are like, I don't need that. No, I'm not wasting my money on that. And he's like, well, okay. It's not like I run this website and I know what I'm doing.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, that's an interesting way to look at it, too.
It is. But, you got any more notes?
No, that's it.
Anything interesting? Are you excited for the reunion?
Oh, yeah, definitely excited for that. I'm really looking forward to that. That's going to be a lot of fun. Not my brain right now, but I got to figure all that out between like trailers and vendor trailers, and which is another to kind of like a behind the scenes thing about me, like kind of like doing this thing where I'm getting ready to be more prepared for shows farther out. There was always this problem, like a couple times last year, we were like, oh, you know, if I could use the trailer, and you're like, well, yeah, that's no problem. But then you got to like figure out about your vendor trailer. And I said, well, I got to do inventory and reprint. If that's all done, I can just, you know, leave that somewhere, you know? So anyway, lots of thinking going on. But yes, I'm excited for that.
Hell yeah.
I got to buy a battery for my truck. The batteries.
On the Titan?
No, on the 4Runner.
Oh, on the 4. Is it toast?
It's, yeah. They don't last very long. I have this like in where it's parked. I have probably about 6 batteries. I've just been saving them. I don't know why. They're like little trophies for every battery I've killed in that thing.
Why do they go bad so fast?
Because they're too small for the truck. Yeah, you've seen the battery, right?
Yeah, they're really tiny.
I mean, I wouldn't even consider it a golf cart battery.
No.
It's very, very small.
Yeah.
And I don't know why. It just is. But they're like $60. So I just keep buying them, dumping them in there. It makes a runs a truck, runs the compressors. If I added audio, that'd be too much. Like
you're gonna have to bring bring it out here and go to Tanner's, and then he can rebuild your motor while he puts a new battery in your truck.
Exactly.
Yeah,
that sounds like a plan. But anyway, all right. Yeah. So go to our website, buy more stuff from Brian, so he can build more stuff.
Yeah, and look, I have like a lot of banners and stuff on there too. So.
It doesn't need to be shirts.
It doesn't need to be shirts. And could be anything you want. Lots of banners. And
buy stuff from me, too.
And buy stuff from Frank.
Anyway. All right.
All right.
Next week.
Bye.